Okay. Well, this week and next week, you've got a special offer. You've got two for the price of one in preaching, because Jacqueline and myself are going to be sharing. Next week, we're going to be speaking on celebrating and recalibrating, marking 10 years. So I'll let you know more about that next week. But the preach time this week is going to be a little bit different. We're going to tell you about a couple of events, well, one event and one thing that we're going to be doing as a church. And then I really felt we needed to have time for communion, not just a 10-minute here and thing, but actually time for communion. There's just a few things I want to say in that. And then the guys are going to come back up, and I believe God wants to minister through us through communion. So I'm going to invite my beautiful wife to come up. This is so I get cooked food, not frozen.
Yeah, flattery will get you everywhere.
Yeah.
So Richard asked me to promote an event that we've got at the end of September. And actually, it's quite a good time to promote this event at the end of worship, because it's an event to do with well-being, our health and well-being, mental health. It's a Happy Heads event on the 28th of September, so that's the last Saturday in September. And the reason I want to promote that is because this mental health is something that really and truly is only beginning to be talked about in these last few years, more openly than it ever has before, especially with people like Prince Harry and Prince William, you know, talking about their emotions and things like that. But this isn't anything new. And in the Rugeley Advertiser last month, it said, I'm just going to read out a few bits. It says, why doctors are prescribing mindfulness. Mindfulness has gone from the buzzword to a therapy increasingly prescribed by doctors. Today, many of us rush through our days reacting off the cuff and missing opportunities to take a breath and appreciate what's around us. Mindfulness means taking a step back to examine what's going on rather than just reacting. By becoming more aware of your thoughts and feelings, you can recognize signs of stress and anxiety earlier and begin to see patterns, recognizing those that aren't helpful. This can make it easier to prevent them overwhelming you and leading you into a spiral of negative emotions or actions that make the situation worse. And then I want to read you something that someone wrote many years ago, because he already knew that this is an issue. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. And that's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure. He leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. You know, that is the answer. But how do we do it? How do we get to that place of being at peace and knowing God's presence and worship this morning? You know, I give you my heart. Tell me, Lord, what you want me to know. Let me hear what you want me to hear. That is the best place to start if we want to be people that are well emotionally, physically, and spiritually, because that is how we're made up, body, spirit, and soul. And so the event on the 28th is called Happy Heads. It's run by a charity who have done events in London. This is going to be their first event, which is a Christian event. However, for them, it means that not all of them who do this event are Christians, but those of them that are coming up, and they're going to be able to share their testimonies more freely because it's classed as a Christian event. But what it's aimed at is promoting positive mental health recovery, and it's open to anyone who is suffering from mental health problems, carers, those who want to be educated from a Christian perspective on how to prevent, overcome, and maintain brilliant mental health. You know, we want to remain well. And it's going to be quite practical. There's going to be a workshop, firstly, in the morning, that looks at a very visual tool called a balance ball. And that balance ball is going to give us practical ways in which we can make life balanced for ourselves. How many of us hear people say, I'm so stressed this week, I can't cope, I'm really anxious about this, that, and the other? And then how many of us have, and I've been in this place as well, where we've put labels on people? You know, how many have talked about the depressed person, you know, the schizophrenic, the bipolar, the whatever? And we're here to bring the love of God and to show the love of God and to help people maintain good well-being. And we can't do that if we don't know how to do it ourselves. And I think this workshop is really going to be helpful in showing practical ways in which we can bring balance and well-being to our bodies. It aims to empower, to encourage, to educate, and to celebrate creative gifts and strengths rather than by limiting people to their labels or their diagnosis. So that's a lot of things there, and I think it ticks a lot of boxes. And I'd be very surprised if any of us could say, we don't need it. So I want to encourage you to really prayerfully pray about coming. And I'm going to ask, in fact, I'm going to pray that there will be people in these, you know, we've got 4 weeks, there's going to be people that you meet that you will know that you can give them a leaflet, because at the back there is some leaflets with a bit more explanation, some really colourful invitations. There's going to be, Kevin and Chris have done really good work in getting some store holders here, people, charities, local organisations that will also be here to be able to offer and signpost professional help for people that come. So, you know, it's the start of just being able to offer people, showing ourselves how to keep well mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So frequently, our physical is impacted by our mental health. So many times that we are suffering physically because of how things are mentally. And we want to be people that are able to live well. And so I want to encourage you to come along. And I want to encourage you to be looking out for people who you'll know in the next few weeks, and who you'll get a sense of, yeah, I want to invite you to something that potentially is going to give you some good tools to live life well. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, I just want to pray that we will be people as Christians who, you know, we don't always know it all, but Father, you do give us tools to live life well. And Father, we want to be able to have something to offer people, to know how to speak to people, to know how to signpost people onto professionals that can help. But actually, Father, we want to have tools to be able to know that we can be resting and not rushing, and we can live from a place of peace. And I thank you, Father God, that this isn't anything new to you, that in the Psalms, King David was already speaking of that place where we can go. But Father, I thank you that you, Lord God, have the answer. And I just thank you that you're practical as well. So Father, I just pray that for each one of us, we will take the resources that you offer and that are offered to us. And I pray, Father, for each person here in these next coming weeks, that Father, there will be a sense in their spirit, if there's someone that they come across, that they will know, yeah, this is an invite to a workshop that will do you good. Amen.
Thanks, Jacqueline. So where do we go from there? How about baptism? We've been in this building about 4.5 years now, and I would say it's taken a good proportion of that time to actually set it up and get where we are today. And we're still only at the beginning. So it's taken time. But obviously, since leaving our old building, we had a baptistry pool in our old building, didn't we? Remember in the hole in the ground? Well, it's quite exciting because we're at a stage where we need a baptistry pool again. Yeah. Because Nan, obviously, in giving her life some months back, we need to get her baptized. So that's exciting, and I think it's important because we're at a place in our journey where I think, Nan, you will be the first of many in this building who will be baptized. Now, we could dig a hole in the sports hall. I don't know what health and safety would say about that with a five-a-side football, but I don't think that's going to work. So we're looking at purchasing a portable baptistry. The Bishop of York doesn't come with it, by the way. He doesn't. So we're looking at purchasing that because it's portable. It's a large oval one, so it will fit 3 people in when it's full. But it comes apart, so we can store it. And we thought it was important to get one we could get 3 in, so we can bring you back up, Nan. It's important. It is quite important. So that's what we want to do. Now, we've talked about this as leaders and directors, and I'm always conscious that what we come to the family for in offering isn't just general stuff. But I think in mentioning this today, we're asking the family, will you contribute something in this? We feel it's a worthy cause because it's advancing the kingdom. So what does it cost? Now, I don't think that guy's doing a dance. I think he's just holding it to put together. I thought he was doing that Torval and Dean impersonation, but he's not. So this is what it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us $1,375 for the baptistry. Rather than getting cups to empty it, it is better and quicker if you get a pump to do that. So that's another £75. Then there's the ground sheet. Instead of, we don't want to give Nan or anyone else in future a fireman's lift into the pool. We'd rather them step into it. So that's another £135 and £95 for delivery. So what we're asking you is, will you consider buying into Kingdom for this? We're going to take up 2 offerings, one on the 15th and one on the 22nd of September. And the baptistry should arrive towards the end of September. So all I would ask that you do is that you would prayerfully consider, Lord, are you asking me to give something towards this? That's all we ask. Okay. We haven't done the declaration this morning yet. Because the Son has set me free, I am free indeed. You know, one of the awful things about sin is it deceives about freedom. It says, if you do this, you'll have freedom. When actually all sin does is control and corrupt. True freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. It means knowing who you are and what God has done for you in Christ. Jesus has freed us to obey him in love, but he's also freed us to serve one another in humility, in love. So we're going to move into communion in a minute, and I'm based it around the price that Jesus has paid. But the price that he's paid has given us freedom. So do you believe that this morning, that you are free in Christ? Well done, Wayne. Loved your prayer this morning. That was great. So let's stand. And I want you to face the people next to you, because I want us to say it to each other, not the wall, okay? Oh, well, you have to remember this as well at the same time, yeah. I'm sure you can multitask. So, after three, one, two, three. Because the Son has set me free, I am free indeed. Because the Son has set me free, I am free indeed. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. You're a dangerous people now. You can be seated. Thank you. But like I said, that freedom came at a cost. Jesus has paid the price for us. This is what Isaiah 53 says. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that he weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep to silence before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and he had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Matt, is there any way that the thing can come up on there rather than the words to the song? Because I'm not going to sing that to you. These are remarkable words, aren't they? Remarkable in what they are saying, but remarkable also that these were some 700 years prior to the event that took place. And to me, there is no doubt who Isaiah is talking about. He's talking about our Messiah. He's talking about the suffering servant who died for us. He's talking about our Lord, our King, our Jesus. This is one of the clearest passages, I believe, in the Bible that talks about that event that was to come. It is crystal clear. So we have to beware that we don't distance ourselves from it. That this is some 21st century that we live in, that this has no relevance. It does. It is personal. And this is going to be one of the few occasions when I'm going to word the use you in preaching. I was always told when I was first speaking, you don't use the word you use we and us. And I understand that. But when I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me as well, okay? Because I think there's some things we have to personalize. And if we don't personalize what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can almost generalize it, and that's wrong. He died for you and he died for me. So in that context, and please, I'm speaking to myself here first. He bore your grief. Your sorrows are the ones he carried. Your transgressions, all your sins, were the ones that pierced him, the ones for which he paid for you. He was crushed, viciously slaughtered for your wrongdoings. It was a slaughter you deserved, a punishment reserved for you, that he took upon himself in your place so that you could get peace. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus died, and he died for you. The stain of sin that marred your life has now been washed white as snow. Jesus has paid your debts, all of them. Galatians 3 says this, and this is the God's Word translation. It says, Christ paid the price to free us from the curse that the laws in Moses' teachings bring by becoming cursed instead of us. Scripture says, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. Christ paid the price so that the blessing promised to Abraham would come to all the people of the world through Jesus Christ, and we would receive the promised Spirit through faith. Jesus paid to take our old identity. And when he paid that price, he took all that garbage and baggage with him. He paid for everything in our lives that wasn't right. And he gave you a new identity. So when I was preparing this morning, God challenged me. He asked me, have you taken back any of your old life? So I'm asking that to you. In all that he's paid for, have you taken anything back? When we were at the ELA conference, the leadership team, a few weeks back, Graham Cook, I suspect many of you would have heard of him. He's a great prophetic guy. He's written some great prophetic books. He brought quite a long prophetic word for the churches, which we will come round to share with you guys as well, because it was for the next 10, 15 years, and we felt it needed praying into. But there was an element that he brought that talked about Jesus wanting his stuff back. And you say, well, what do you mean by his stuff? Well, I thought the easiest thing is to read you what he wrote, or said, sorry, in that respect. This is what he said. Beloved, there is to be no more surrendering your identity to a negative. I am going to make war on all your negativity. Whose side do you want to be on? You do understand that opposition attaches to what you don't remove. So I need you to take things away from you that are killing you, that are weighing you down, that are making you feel less. My son would say to you, I'm taking back my stuff. I died for it. I paid a price for it. It belongs to me. It doesn't belong to you, that anger, that fear, that frustration, that rage, that helplessness, that victim spirit, that poverty mindset. I died for those things. I paid a price for them. They're mine. Get your hands off. They're mine. They don't belong to you. And you can't have them any longer. We're doing violence against every negative. Come and help us. I'm making war on all your negativity until it is driven out of your mind and your heart, until your language changes. And everything out of your mouth will have life attached to it. Everything out of your mouth will speak life and power and blessing and fullness, and I will turn you into a different man and a different woman. The reason I say all these things to you, says the Lord, is that I want to bring a quickening spirit into the earth, that I will not bring it, but I will not bring it where the old man lives. Hear me, I will not bring it where the old man rules. I will not bring it to a legalistic culture. I'm looking for a people, for churches, for leaders who will step up and step away from those things, who will work with me passionately with the new man who is my beloved son in you. You know, this is a word that encourages us, and it is to encourage us. Has any negativity crept back in my life? Have I taken back fear? Have I taken back frustration, anger, anxiety, rage, helplessness? I've done that at times. I've taken all them back at times. Have I taken on a poverty mindset? Am I feeling like a victim? You know, the great wonder alongside all of this, there is no condemnation in Christ. He reveals that stuff, the baggage. He reveals the stuff that perhaps we've subconsciously taken back on. Because he knows it stops us living in the freedom that we talked about in our declaration earlier. See, we can't carry baggage and live in freedom. We can't live in fear and anxiety and frustration and live in freedom. The two don't go together. So we're going to take communion this morning. And the wonderful thing, if we've taken any of those things on, we can give them back to him. He wants them back. He's paid the price. They're his. He owns them. He can get rid of them. He's got such a large wheelie bin that will take all of it. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Through the outworking of the Holy Spirit, which we all carry in our lives, we can have fullness in him. We can have freedom in him. And we can have an identity where everything that comes out of our mouths speaks life, power, blessing, and fullness. That's how you're going to change this community. By speaking power, blessing, and fullness, and truth to those who are carrying so much baggage, they just live for the day that they're in, who are carrying so much sin and condemnation. See, we are to live in the power of the blood that's been spilt for us. We are neither half full or half empty as Christians. You know when people say, oh, that person's a half full or a half empty. In your new identity, you do not have that. You are full to overflowing. How do I know that? Because John 7 tells me, rivers of living water flow from within. We just got to believe it sometimes. I can see you oozing the Holy Spirit. That is what is going to change us. So, Father, I just want to pray as we come to take the bread that was broken for you. I thank you that you did that personally for each one of us. That this wasn't a corporate sacrifice. This was an individual sacrifice for each one of us. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that you spilt for each one of us. I thank you, though, more than anything, Lord Jesus, that there is power in the blood of Jesus that was spilt, that brings freedom, healing, deliverance. I thank you that when you paid the price, there was nothing that you didn't pay for. And Lord, when we physically buy something, we own it. Lord, you own all those bad things, all those sins, all that baggage that we carry. They're yours. And I thank you, Lord, this is an opportunity for us to hand back anything that we've taken on that we shouldn't have done, Lord. I ask that, Lord, in Jesus' name. So we're going to take communion individually. And sometimes we do it in family settings. Sometimes we do it in different ways. But today, I think, is about you and Jesus. And we're going to play a song. And then I just want you just to be open to the Holy Spirit. If there's some baggage you've picked up, if there's some fear, anxiety, you're feeling helpless, if you know something that is of the old self, that is just sitting there, just reared its head again, then give it to Jesus. He's paid for it. It's his. He wants his stuff back. And then when you've given it back, just come up and take the bread. The wine is non-alcoholic, but it is wine. And there are gluten, if you're gluten intolerant, on both tables. But just take a moment. If there's nothing, that's fine. You can just come straight up and take it. But let's be honest with him, in Jesus' name.